Faithful love flowing down from the thorn-covered crown makes me whole, saves my soul, washes whiter than snow. Faithful love calms each fear, reaches down, dries each tear, holds my hand when I can't stand on my own. Faithful love,
faithful love
from above came to earth to show the Father's love. And I'll Jesus is his name.
Faithful love is a friend just when hope seems to end. Welcome face, sweet embrace, tender touch filled with grace. Faithful love, endless power, living flame, spirit's fire, burning bright in the night, guiding my way.
Faithful love
from
above came to earth to show the Father's love. And I'll Jesus is his name.
Faithful love
from above came to earth to show the Father's love. And I'll
Jesus is his name,
and I'll never,
and I'll never
be the same,
for I've seen faithful love face to face, and Jesus is his name.
Welcome to the Word of Life. Glad you're with us this morning. Glad that you've taken the time to listen. If you're driving in your car, I want you to disregard the statements that I make about opening your Bible to a certain text. I want you to understand that one of the most important things while you're driving, and this is my public service announcement, one of the most important things while you're driving is that you not be texting, not be distracted. I drive on a regular basis about 300 miles back and forth to the job that I hold every week. In those times of driving, I see people with computers on their laps working, people who are holding their cell phone in the middle of the steering wheel and texting while they're driving, people that are doing all kinds of things instead of paying attention. Let's make the roads safe. Nothing wrong with saying that, right? So Luke chapter 5 is where we're going to be this morning. Be opening your Bibles there if you are in a place where it is safe to do so. When we begin to look at the gospel accounts about Jesus, there are many things that we come across. One of them we talked about last week was the sense of priority that Jesus must be given. You remember we talked about Luke chapter 5 verse 11, the statement that was made, they left everything and followed Jesus. Is it necessary today that you leave behind family and everybody else to follow Jesus? Well, the apostles were a special case, and I want you to understand that. Those that would be named apostles were asked to follow Jesus, to spend 3+ years of time with Jesus during his ministry here on earth. They were called to be eyewitnesses in a very unique sense. this was what they had to do. Now, you don't have to sell everything you've got. You don't have to lay aside jobs and family in order to follow Christ. In fact, what you must do, for instance, if you are a parent in following Christ, as you must bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. For example, Ephesians chapter 6 talks about that. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. The statements are made all the way through the Scripture about the responsibilities that parents have, and Christian parents, that is, those who are themselves disciples of Jesus Christ, must fulfill the obligation they have. No, you don't leave everything behind. That is not the call that God puts into your life. What God wants you to do is what we studied several weeks ago in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, that we are to let our light shine. We are to be the salt that stops decay, the salt that adds flavor. We are to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. We are to have a righteousness that exceeds that of the Pharisees. We are to build our house upon the rock. We are to follow Jesus. I absolutely believe from what the Scripture says that predestination is a real thing in our life, but Romans chapter 8 reminds us that the predestination that we have is that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That is our call as disciples. So these men that set the bar for us, that became the witnesses, that became part of the writers of the New Testament, these men were called to do something very unique, never again to be repeated. Apostles today? No. Apostles then? Yes. In the sense that the Bible speaks, these men were unique in their office and their ministry. Now, Luke chapter 5 continues with the story that is also mentioned in Mark chapter 1. That is the story of a leper. We'll read in Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 12 and going down through verse 16. And let's study the text. While Jesus was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him. Jesus ordered him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest, make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded, as a testimony to them. But the news about him was spreading even further, and large crowds were gathering to hear and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. The story that we see here about the leper we have dealt with in some detail before. We're not going to spend a lot of time this morning talking about this story again. But I want you simply to understand that what the leper doubted was not Jesus' ability to heal him, but whether Jesus was willing to heal him. Look at the statement the leper makes as he approaches Jesus in verse 12. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He didn't doubt the ability of Jesus. He doubted whether Jesus was any different than anybody else. Would you imagine that people at that time avoided this leper? Would you imagine that as this leper approached Jesus, is it possible, just possible, that those who were walking with Jesus scattered? Were they afraid of this unclean one, this contagious one? This one that they didn't want to catch leprosy. Did they run? Did the crowd exit the presence of Jesus? Well, it's not mentioned here, but it's always possible. But the leper had a question. Would you be willing? Jesus does something very unique in verse 13, and we talked about this before when we studied Mark chapter 1. Jesus not only says to the man, I am willing to be cleansed, but he stretches out his hand and touches him. Now, touch is what this leper needed. And I want you to understand that the leper had a life of loneliness. Perhaps you remember from 140 to 150 years ago what were called leper colonies. Sometimes as far as being an island where lepers were left, because nobody wanted to be around this disease. Nobody wanted to be involved in the possibility of this communicable disease taking them. They just didn't want to. This man received from Jesus what he needed, and it wasn't just healing. It was Jesus reaching to him. As you look at verse 14, you can see Jesus tells the man to be subject to the requirements of the law. He tells him to go to the priest, not to say anything outlandish, and that is out loud-ish, maybe, about what had happened. But interestingly enough, verse 15 says the news about him was spreading even further, and that probably means that this leper broadcasted everywhere. And lo and behold, that's what the account in Mark says, if I remember correctly, that the leper told the story. I would have. You would too. If your skin was destroyed and made again like a child's, you would tell. So the crowds are gathering. We'd seen this last Lord's Day, remember, in the end of Luke chapter 4. The volume of people that were around Jesus was very fatiguing. You see, Jesus didn't call on God reserve power to deal with these people. Because if you notice, what verse 16 tells us is that despite all of those gathering and the work that Jesus was doing with them, teaching them, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing the sicknesses, casting out the demons, the scripture says in verse 16 that Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. That's just what Jesus did. That's what he needed to do. You know, in the midst of a very busy world, we lose the ability to withdraw ourselves. We schedule ourselves so full that we dishonor God's own plan for man. And you might ask, well, what do you mean by that? Well, let's think about it. God allowed for the rest of people on the Sabbath, even in the Old Testament. And if by the book of Revelation, the first day of the week was known as the Lord's Day, it's pretty evident that what went on was other things were avoided so that priority could be given to God. Now, Jesus expressed that in his action. You might not agree with what I'm saying. I want you to understand that you need to study the Bible and see. But I want you to be very clear on this, that Jesus took the time to rest. But not only did he rest, he slipped away to the wilderness and prayed, recharging who he was, reigniting the energy within him. That's what Jesus did. How could we be any less needy ourselves? In a few moments, we're going to consider what began in verse 17. Right now, let's break and listen to a song.
All my tomorrows and all my past, Jesus is Lord of all. I've quit my struggles, contented at last, Jesus is Lord of all. Ah, King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus is Lord of all my possessions. And all my life, Jesus is Lord of all. All my longings and all my dreams, Jesus is Lord of all. yours his power redeems.
Jesus is Lord of all, a King of kings, Lord of lords. Jesus is Lord of all.
The events of Jesus' life are always outlined by the presence of people. And I want you to understand that it's not just that the writer of the gospel accounts, whichever one you're considering, would say, oh, in this town this happened, in that town this happened. The outline of the actions of Jesus is best seen in the people that he touched and affected. And we saw that with the leper a while ago. Now we see a man who is paralyzed. Read with me in Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 17 and going through verse 26. One day Jesus was teaching. There were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. Some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed. They were trying to bring him in and to set him down in front of Jesus. Not finding any way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down through the tiles with his stretcher into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, he said, "Friend, your sons are forgiven you." The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this man who blasphemes? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But Jesus, aware of their reasonings, answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, get up, pick up your stretcher, and go home." Immediately he got up before them, picked up what he had been lying on, and went home glorifying God. They were all struck with astonishment and began glorifying God. They were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen remarkable things today." I want you to draw you to one particular statement that's made here in verse 21. The statement is made that the scribes and Pharisees were reasoning in their hearts. One of the reasonings that they were having, one of the things they were saying among themselves, was, "Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Well, absolutely, they were right. Only God can forgive sins. But what they didn't know was that Jesus proved he forgave the sins because he made the man walk. You see, they were correct. It was God that was there in front of them. One of the subtle statements about the divinity of Jesus is this event here in Luke chapter 5. There are very many other statements that Jesus made that point out to us that though he was not a lunatic, he was indeed stating to the world that his identity is not found in his human DNA, but it's found in being God. Now, the story that unfolds here was very usual, probably, in the life of Jesus. You know, we have seen twice in the last 2 weeks, in the end of Luke chapter 4 and going on into the stories of Luke chapter 5, that massive crowds gathered around Jesus. There was no way Jesus could consistently be away from the crowds because they looked for him, they found him, they wanted his presence. One day he's teaching. And Luke is not so concerned to tell us where or to tell us which particular day it was, but just that Jesus was teaching. In the crowd were Pharisees, teachers of the law. They'd come from one end of Israel to the other. they were there listening to Jesus. And God's power, the power of the Father, the Son, the Spirit, was there for the miraculous event that was about to take place to occur. The miraculous was there because Jesus was. And we must understand that. Some men brought a friend of theirs, verse 18 tells us. The Gospel of Mark tells us they dug through the roof, the tiles removed, the adobe-type structure dug through, and they let this man down in front of Jesus. Verse 19 records that, right in the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. And something interesting happened in verse 20. Jesus saw what we cannot envision seeing. He saw their faith. Now, what Jesus saw was these people who were going to the trouble to bring their friend to him, who were willing to dig through the ceiling and let the man down in front of him. Their faith was seen in that they trusted Jesus to be able to do something about this. Now, what did they expect? Well, they expected Jesus to heal the man. That's what Jesus had been doing everywhere. He'd been healing the sick, all of those that were brought to him. He'd been casting out the demons. He'd been teaching of an amazing way that God was revealing his will. All of this had been going on. They expected the man to be healed. They might not have expected what Jesus said that day. Friend, your sins are forgiven you. Well, it sure got the Pharisees, those teachers who had gathered. Remember back in verse 17, the Pharisees, teachers of the law from Galilee, Judea, from Jerusalem. All of these gathered there were very taken aback by the words that Jesus spoke. In fact, they questioned whether Jesus could. And we talked about this just a few moments ago. Who can forgive sins but God alone? This guy's blaspheming. But Jesus answered what they were wondering. And this always impresses me, the way Jesus does this. Jesus makes it very clear in verse 24 the reason that he will heal this man. A lot of people think that the miracles of Jesus were done for just kindness and compassion. And kindness and compassion were involved, there's no doubt. But look what verse 24 says. But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. That's why he did this. He had spoken the man's sins forgiven. They could not see that, so they were denying that. Jesus said, well, let me show you. And what he did was he said to the man who had never walked, get up, take your pallet, and go home. And lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. What would you have done if you'd been in that crowd? Well, we're going to talk about that in just a few moments. Right now, let's listen to another song.
In the darkness of midnight, I have often hid my face, while the storms howl about me, and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times others whispered, there's no need to even try, for there's no end to sorrow, there's no hope for your life. But I know that thou art with me, and tomorrow I will rise, where the storms never darken the skies. Where When the long nights have ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore. In that land where the tempest never comes, Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand, and keep me safe till the storm passes by.
Just what would you do? What would you do if Jesus healed someone right in front of you? Well, the man that was healed, it's very simple what he did. Jesus told him to pick up his stretcher and go home. Well, verse 25 says, immediately he got up before them, picked up what he'd been laying on, and went home, glorifying God. He did exactly what Jesus said. He did exactly what he'd been told to do. And notice that the paralysis did exactly what Jesus said, which is to allow the man to walk, go away, paralysis. Which, you know, leads us to believe that when Jesus said in the beginning of verse 24, so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he was right there too. That's what it leads us to believe, because that's what Jesus said he was showing. What did the people do? Well, look at verse 26. It's not hard to see, and it's not hard to imagine. They were all struck with astonishment and began glorifying God, and they were filled with fear, saying, we have seen remarkable things today. I want you to notice that they mentioned that we have seen. It's not we have had a vision, not we have had a thought, not we have heard the story, but we didn't see ourselves. It's we have seen. The nature of Jesus being in flesh is a very interesting topic of study. And it's addressed here in this story very bluntly, that Jesus was not just a ghost among us. He was not just a spirit creature, but he was a real person, because, you know, other people could look at him and see him. Other people could see what he did. They could witness the statements that Jesus made, witness the actions that he had. You've got to understand, and I've got to understand, that what Peter later on would call in 1 Peter chapter 1, the God that he had seen, the one that we saw, we beheld, as Peter would say, the one that John in 1 John chapter 1 would see what our hands handled concerning the word of life. They knew that Jesus was real, and they knew that Jesus was who he claimed to be. Now, as you look at this story, then you see the presence of those who would oppose Jesus, who would accuse him, the presence of the Savior himself, the presence of the friends of the man who had the faith to be able to bring him, the man himself, whom we're not told anything about except that he was paralyzed and that he obeyed what Jesus said to do. You see the crowd. Someday you'll stand in the presence of Jesus. What will you do? Someday you'll be as close to him in presence as these people were that day. Make the decision now of what you'll do. Next week on The Word of Life, we'll continue our Bible study. We'll continue looking at glimpses into the life of Christ. You join us then. Until then, God bless you.